I have a dream. I have a big dream. I dream of an age that is to be just around the corner, when from every limitation we shall know that we are free. Sometimes I break down and just weep for the people of the earth. And not just for those who are suffering from war or famine or natural disasters, but for those of us with comfortable lives who have settled for so very little. Most of us have settled for a modicum of security, a job, a house, a retirement account. We pray that we and our loved ones will never experience debilitation or destitution. At the end of the day, we have defined our lives and ourselves within the seemingly safe boundaries of our time and our culture. In so doing, we are experiencing only the tip of the iceberg that is our true spiritual heritage. And as you know, 90% of the iceberg is submerged under the water. And unless we strive to express the fullness of our being, 90% of our spiritual power remains submerged in the unconscious, the invisible realm beyond the veil of illusion. Unity is known as practical spirituality. We teach the truths and the tools that can support us as we reveal more and more of that submerged spiritual nature. And these truths are often expressed as these five principles. The first, there is only one presence and one power in the universe, God, the good, omnipotent. The second one, each person, each being has the spark of the divine, the Christ within. The third one, we create our reality with our thoughts. We call this the law of mind action. Four, each of us communicates directly with God through prayer and meditation. And five, we practice these principles in our everyday lives. We walk the walk. When I worked at Silent Unity at the telephone prayer ministry, the two most common prayer requests were for healing and for prosperity. And these were indicators of people's suffering and people's spiritual amnesia. Unity has well-developed and time-tested practices in both of these vital areas. At USC, we've spent time on healing. Most recently, our autumn journey last fall was a journey into healing. Our first Sunday meditation services last year were healing meditations. But we've spent less time teaching prosperity principles. And we're excited to share that next month we'll begin teaching the 4T course. The 4Ts are tithing of your time, talent, and treasure. Several of our key leaders have already enrolled, and you'll have the opportunity to do so over the next few weeks. We can change. We can prosper. We can know radiant health and happiness. Today is the second talk required to become members of the church, and we're talking about what Unity teaches. We're looking at our spiritual journeys as 3D humans. And looking at our journeys into unity. Before we came to the earth plane, we knew that we are spiritual heroes. We volunteered for a challenging assignment, but one that is uniquely rewarding. The most enduring theme in mythology is the hero's journey, and we see elements of this journey in all the great stories in our history, from the life of Jesus to Dorothy in Oz to Harry Potter. Because deep down inside, we each relate with the hero and to that journey, because it is our own. And the basic structure of the hero's journey is the hero or heroine, who is always an orphan, answers the call to adventure. He leaves home and travels through unknown realms, garnering knowledge and growth along the way. Eventually, he returns home and shares his new perspective with those that he left behind. We left our spiritual homes. In so leaving, we forgot from whence we came, feeling like orphans, feeling like disenfranchised, living spiritual beings. We are traveling through a challenging and rewarding realm, the physical plane. We garner spiritual gifts that cannot be obtained elsewhere. And eventually, we shall return home with all of creation made richer by our willingness to take this journey. With all of creation made richer by our willingness to take this journey. Unity's basic teachings are the signposts and supplies we need while on this spiritual odyssey. When we apply them in our daily lives, we learn that we are heroes, we are spiritual heroes, and never again shall we settle for little lives. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And the purpose of our journey is to awaken, to remember, and to live with intent. At some point for each of us in this room, our journey led to unity. And many people, like me, first come to unity when they are in crisis, such as addiction, divorce, bankruptcy, major illness. And unity teaches them a new way of living, of looking at themselves and others, and provides tools to improve their situations. Think about that song, Amazing Grace. You know, when we sing it, we unitize it. We unitize every song we sing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Became, 'twas grace that taught my heart to sing. These changes to this famous old hymn seem to symbolize the way that unity brings peace and healing to the overall Christian faith. We teach folks that they are not wretches. They are divine souls. We teach folks that they don't need to fear. Instead, they can allow their hearts to sing. Could there be a worthier or more noble purpose? Unity brings a fresh way of looking at the Christian tradition. We eliminate the dogma that has developed over the centuries. And an example is from a Hindu story. This is a Hindu tale about a guru that had a cat. And this holy man would tie up the cat during the worship service. This practice continued after the guru died. They continued to tie up his cat. This practice continued after the cat died, they got another cat. And eventually, scholars wrote brilliant papers about the liturgical significance of tying up a cat while worship is performed. That's dogma. That's how dogma develops. In unity, we would examine the purpose of tying up the cat in light of our five basic principles, and it is highly unlikely that we would have continued this practice. Folks come to unity from seeming diverse paths. In my class in ministerial school, one of the students was a Christian Buddhist who had a passion for interfaith ministry. She's alive and well and has a church in Pomona, California. Another student was a Jewish Christian. He was raised in the Jewish tradition and during a period of meditation saw Jesus. He and his wife, who's also a Unity minister, lead a church in Virginia. There was a woman who was raised by her Cherokee grandmother in the shamanic tradition of the Native Americans. She has a church in Oregon. And then there was me, with my passion for all things intergalactic. And we are all Unity ministers. Unity truth principles are universal, and I believe they are eternal. They are valid in diverse spiritual orientations and provide the freedom for all people to explore God, to explore themselves, as they are called to do. So ask yourself, why did you first come to Unity? Why do you stay? Where do you hope that Unity will help you to go? And then ask yourself, as members of Unity's spiritual community, How are we going to be in our hearts? How are we going to be in our church? How are we going to be in our world? We have the tools to be spiritual heroes. And beyond improving our individual lives, beyond enjoying this community of like-minded people, we can practice these principles in our families, in our schools, at our places of work, at the mall. We can, with our awareness and intent, change the world. Nay, we can save the world. I have a dream. I have a big dream. I dream of the day when love will triumph and truth shall reign. I believe that Unity provides a path to that day, that together we can create a spiritual community so dynamic that its energy radiates into the world. As we continue to grow together, we will learn how to apply the tools of practical spirituality. And at the end of the day, we shall return home, blessing all of creation with the rich gifts of spirit that we have garnered along the way. And thus ends today's lesson.